Completely Conspicuous, episode 502, December 17th, 2018. Welcome back to Completely Conspicuous. I'm your host, Jay Kumar. This week it's part 3 of my conversation with Jay Breitling as we discuss our favorite albums of 2018. As always, please send any comments, questions, or quality regifts to jay.kumar@gmail.com. Also, please check out Completely Conspicuous at comconcast.blogspot.com and on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at KumDog. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Now back to my conversation with Jay Breitling.
My number 5. Albert Hammond Jr., Francis Trouble.
Nice. Remember also you liked my, this one, yeah.
On my mid-year list, this is a
Speaking of jazz cigarettes, this guy was on the jazz
He was on a lot of things. Yeah. He was, you know, kind of spiraling out of control there for a while with the drugs. And, you know, drugs are bad in Caddy, but he obviously has gotten his shit together. And this is, I kind of stumbled on this, actually Bob Durling recommended this. He'd heard, I think, one of the songs on NBR.
Good radio station.
And sort of said, hey, you know, this is pretty kick-ass. So I started listening to it, and I was like, shit, I gotta have this. So, it's the title actually refers to he had a twin who died in utero, who they named Francis. So he kind of imagined, like, what he would be like as, you know, an adult. But it's, yeah, it's very, you know... It's very kind of bright. The Strokes kind of had that whole build up as like, you know, the saviors of rock in the early 2000s. And you really like, I had the first, you know, Is This It, that first record.
Yeah, which is a great record.
And they kind of stiffed for me after that. I didn't really, you know, get into anything else they did.
Yeah.
And so this was like,
but then Hammond started doing solo records.
Right, but even those I didn't really listen to that much. But this kind of, for me, was out of left field. And it was, you know, just an excellent, very riffy kind of, you know, power pop record. The vocals are strong and confident. The songs are, you know, kind of punchy. And it really is, I was just impressed that this guy had this in him. I thought he was kind of a waste case. Because, you know, you'd read the headlines about, you know, he was getting, you know, going into rehab or, you know.
So he was in the Strokes?
Yeah.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, still is. But, he's one of the guitarists. But I just, you know, kind of wrote him off like I wrote the rest of the Strokes off. It was like, these guys just can't get their act together. They were big for a little while and, you know, keep stumbling. But, yeah, he, batteries die. Really, and I'll have to go back and listen to his other solo stuff because I don't have any.
I have a couple favorite Albert Hammond Jr. tracks from the solo albums, you know, back 10 years where, you know, I didn't love the albums, but, you know, there's one called, like, Spooky Couch, maybe. It's an instrumental that I really, really like. And, something about, like, Hard to Live in the City or something. It's a vocal.
Fool for the City?
Wasn't Fool for the City, but that is a jam. I'll have to save that for the Foghat episode.
Yeah. The song Faraway Truths on this record is outstanding. Or even as my Canadian homies would say, outstanding.
Outstanding.
It's a really strong record. Heard it early in the year, and it's you know, when I was going over everything, I was like, I gotta have this in my top five because it's, you know, it's one of my favorites. So, Albert Hammond Jr., as Kurt Loder would say, do check it out.
Do check it out. All right,
that's my number five. What up, Doggy?
My number five, another Philadelphia act. No surprise there.
Philadelphia.
Illadelph. Released on the Tiny Engines label.
Ah, yes.
The album is called Hypnic Jerks.
Ah.
It's by the popular beat combo Spirit of the Beehive.
I have this record.
This record is terrific.
Yeah.
It's, you know, just weird shoegaze, kind of in the mold of early Swirlies. Not that the Swirlies got any less weirder later.
Yeah.
You know, this is kind of next level stuff, though. You know, how many more levels are there, really? Spirit of the Beehive, they're playing tonight on a very hot bill somewhere in Boston with maybe Rick from Pyle and Strange Mangers, maybe, or those other guys who I always get confused with, Strange Mangers.
Danger?
Yeah, I can't remember their name. It's longer. You know, this is this Hypnic Jerks is, it's kind of an all things to all people kind of record. The songs are all great, but you know, there's some kind of you know, spazzy post punk. There's you know, just where are my notes here? Oh, strummy indie rock. There's, you know, shoegazy stuff. You know, the songs are, you know, uniformly pretty terrific. They're doing pretty well with it, which I'm glad to see, because you know, there's nobody doing quite exactly what they're doing. You know, the record is kind of weird, and I like that. I like that people are still out there doing that. You know, they'll probably only sell 500 copies of the record, but you know, as we always used to say, you know, the clicky seal of approval pretty much dooms any sort of career aspirations you might have. But I highly recommend folks turn on to this one. I thought I had some pick tracks here where we were streaming it here in the background in the bed here, but
Jana used to say it would be the right 500
people. Yeah, it'll be the right 500 people. That's true.
Screw the rest of them.
So, anyway, highly recommended. Spirit of the Beehive. It's on Tiny Engines, Will Miller, and I can't remember the other cat from the label, but those are stand-up dudes as well. So, I always like to support what they're doing, but here it wasn't any sort of effort, you know, when they're going to go ahead and sign a Philadelphia band that I like. I'm not going to have many problems with that. So, Hypnic Jerks. Which is actually it's a term of art. I noticed in Googling today. I didn't stop to check it out, but I suppose it's a medical term. So it's not referring to jerks who are hypnic.
No,
it's referring to some sort of
jerky movement,
conniption.
Sure. Ah.
Jerky. And there you go.
Cool. My number four is going to come up again on your list, so. Maybe we'll just wait,
table it,
to talk about that, and let's go with your next.
My number four, yeah. Sticking with Philly, and we mentioned this act briefly in the context of one of your honorable mentions in episode 500.
Sorry, Doug.
Particularly a discussion of you know, they did the EP Divorce Year, the good band. Anyway. Hop
thin
Along.
Lips.
Yes, Thin Lips. I speak of Hop Along. Their record is called Bark Your Head Off, Dog. I think it's on Saddle Creek, maybe. It's just more than any other record on the list. It's just really kind of exhilarating. It's just impassioned, dynamic, indie rock, big guitars. The singer, Francis, is always going for it. They you know, kind of added a dimension to the band when they did the record prior to this one by bringing in as a second guitarist one of the cats from Algernon Cadwallader, who you know are perhaps my favorite all-time Philadelphia emo band, or at least of the modern era. As a side note, I'll point out that the Algernon catalog's getting reissued, which is a good thing to do. So I got the sense that their last record, made them a festival caliber band, and I certainly think this record is going to solidify that for them. I don't know if they did Boston Calling or whatever, but they were definitely in some, at least some of the smaller festivals, which unfortunately I think is, because I hate festivals, but I think that's where you have your success as a band, though that didn't, we mentioned that earlier in our episode 500 conversation, but
500.
It's not a bad place to be, but Bark Your Head Off Dog is just a real pleasure to listen to. It's high energy, it's bright. She's an incredible songwriter. She is well supported by I think Mikey Toshjian on drums, who is the brother of the woman who fronts Thin Lips, unless I'm getting all my people mixed up, and then the fellow from Algernon on the second guitar. They have the players, they have the material, and Saddle Creek is a pretty large, they've got, their own distribution, and they have all the pieces in place, so as long as they continue to write good music, I think we're going to continue to see a good product for them. So, hopefully they can hold it together. Bark Your Head Off Dog by Hop Along, that is my number four song of 20, or album of 2018.
Yeah, I enjoyed this record. It's in my I didn't mention it, but it is in my honorable mentions. Definitely a quality release. My number three is from another UK band called Idols. The album is called Joy is an Act of Resistance. This is their second album. They're on Partisan Records. They kind of remind me a little bit of Future of the Left / McCluskey. The singer's kind of got a very, sort of sardonic tone to his vocals. Very angry band, very political. So a lot of kind of UK references again, kind of like Slaves. But this band is like the first song is Colossus, and it's like almost like 6 minutes long, and it's just a beast of a song. They're very strident in their, they talk about toxic masculinity and kind of stuff like that. They're very, they're angry, but they really rock. They kind of, he's saving it. He just saved it to his thingy.
One too many.
Did not get a chance to see them live. They came through a few months ago, but
I've heard The Fall once or twice.
Yeah, once or twice. Yeah, definitely have that kind of droning riff kind of thing. I haven't heard the first record, so I don't know. I don't have anything to compare it to, but they definitely very strident. As you can kind of hear, they can really bang it out. This is definitely like with repeat listens, I've kind of really started to enjoy this a lot. So I encourage you fine fellows and other fine people listening to check it out. Joy is an Act of Resistance by Idols. It rocks. And that's my number three.
It does rock.
What's your number?
My number three. Let's just check to make sure. Oh, that's not you're in the.
Doggy.
We've got a player on that. We've got a punter on the field.
Bernice.
Yeah. What am I? Okay. I didn't skip anything. My number three. And I'm glad we have a real student of the
student
of the game here. Fucking student.
Fucking student.
My number three is "There's a Riot Going On" by Yola Tengo.
By Sly Stone.
Almost was my number two, almost was my number one. This is a really, really good record. I have difficulty finding fault with this record. All the songs that are the You songs, You Are Here, For You Too. I mean, it's wall-to-wall hits. I really love that there's an ambient droning number, a shortwave, which, it's like they know me. It's like, hey, let's put this weird ambient thing in the middle. And so they did. At this point, I don't think we need to introduce anybody to Yola Tengo. We do have one of the nation's most esteemed Yola Tengoologists here with us this evening. I don't know if he has any particular insight into the release, but, it certainly has its own flavor. I don't think it's too broad a jump from where they've been coming, but, if you take a Yola record from 7 years ago and compare it to now, there is a difference. Mm. But, I guess the band has phases. This one is certainly one that's right in my wheelhouse, though. I can't think of any anything they've done that hasn't really appealed to me. But, I like this one more than Fade, and I liked Fade,
Yeah.
So, I suppose Fade is relatively, probably not close to the top for me, so maybe that's not the hugest endorsement, but, by the same token, I don't like Fade as much as some things, but I still like it a lot. So, as a senior Yola Tengo correspondent, Mr. Doobie, do you have any particular insight, particularly where this record sits in some sort of progression that you might see in an arc?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. For our next... we have to go to commercial break.
Thanks,
now.
Rick. Back to you in the studio.
It just seemed like the kids are all right. Do you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. I do see this as a... I found it to be a massive turn.
Yeah.
I don't see it as a natural progression much at all. From the last record. I think it's a real... I mean, I found it to be a real... wildly different record from anything they've ever done before. It's very anti-song. It's a real collection of... it's almost like sound textures.
Well, I feel like they're taking some of the Sounds of Science or Sounds of Science stuff and some
sure.
of the Summer Sun... Which I know some people don't like Summer Sun
sure.
as much as I do.
Yeah.
And then, adding that into where they've been. But the blue one with the cassette tape on it, it's different from that one. That one I felt like had, more structured songs on it. So, yeah, this one is kind of deconstructed and it's where I am. It's meeting me where I am.
Fade was a big record for them because... I think, that's the first record where there's a huge effort to, it's almost like a Taoist record, it's really going for, it's this real sort of living in the moment, power of now, it's a real shift in life philosophy from a literal standpoint, for the people in this band, but musically and as far as songwriting is concerned, relatively conventional record as far as the progression and arc of the band is concerned.
Yeah.
This current record, it's like they threw away the playbook. And they said, if we're going to live in the moment, you're going to record music that's, that really represents that sort of philosophy, commit. And it's their first record without a producer,
Really?
No producer yet. It's produced themselves. It's recorded
I'm surprised
themselves.
They hadn't done it before.
Yeah. They've always worked with, and it's the first record recorded at home,
Nice.
They've always worked in studios and worked with producers. And I think so. This is the first time that they really just, took their time. They did it over 2 years and did it at home and did it themselves.
cool.
Yeah. And didn't sweat songs.
Yeah.
And you can really hear that in it. It's a very easygoing record.
Yeah, I need to check it out. I haven't listened to it yet, so
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
It requires some commitment and some patience. Or at first it feels like it's not, you know, it might feel like the songs themselves don't emerge right away. But they're there.
Yeah.
They're just not conventional songs in the conventional sense.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really special. It's a special record.
I agree.
Yeah. I love Fade a lot, but I don't feel it's a particularly special record.
Yeah.
It's a very good record.
Yeah.
It's just not a particularly special one. Popular Songs, the blue one that you're talking about,
yeah,
for, is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's
it. That's in my top three of their records. I don't know that it's a particularly special record, you know.
Just good.
Yeah, I adore it. Yeah. It's got a couple of my favorite songs of theirs on it.
Yeah. It's got some great balance. It's a good one.
It's one of the great, you know, they made a stretch of records that were really eclectic, you know, where it's super different songs from each other.
Yeah.
You know, there's like four LPs in a row where that was the sort of the idea where they were just super good.
I'm going to beat your ass, that one.
Yeah, sure. Where, you know, there are hard rockers and gentle ballads and soulful ones and experimental ones and instrumentals. And that was the beauty of it is like, you had no idea what the next track was going to be like. It was just like this super surprise bag of tricks, you know? And I think Popular Songs is probably the one where they're most...
They really nailed it.
Right? Like, where you get the best stuff. I mean, it ends with like 3 10-minute weird instrumentals.
Yeah.
Including probably my favorite song of theirs, And the Glitter is Gone.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That might be my favorite song of theirs, you know? So, you know...
So there you go. I like that record.
And so does Dubs.
What Rick said.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go on to my number two. It's by a band called Fucked Up.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Dose Your Dreams.
Yep.
It's their fifth album.
And it is good.
It's really good. This is their first album on Merge. They were on Matador before. The last record was Glass Boys. It came out in 2014. And, you know, they've done, like, a lot of kind of pretty cool experimental stuff. Like,
David Comes to Life
was my favorite album of 2011.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a double album kind of concept thing, really kind of.
Yeah, and it came with all the weird, if you bought the thing, like, they're behind you somewhere, mm-hmm. like, they're with all the 7-inches.
Oh, right, yeah. But, like, the last record was more back to basics, kind of, you know, hardcore. Damien Abraham, the singer, who also goes by Pink Eyes, you know, he's like, I don't know if you're familiar with him at all, Rick, but like, you know, super like gravelly, you know, like his vocal, it's funny, like they're on Merge, because like, he does not sound like anybody on Merge, like he sounds like that, but like, he's awesome, he's been great, he's this, you know, big, fat, shirtless, bald dude,
who screams,
and like in concert, like just like, you know, just is all over the place, he like, smashes bottles on his head, he's a freaking lunatic. So, like, but on the records, like, their guitarist is this guy, Mike Halachek, and he basically writes these, like, concept albums. Is like, you know, the musically, it's very expansive. Like, you know, there's a lot of hooks. There's a lot of interesting stuff. This album, two albums ago, was David Comes to Life, was this concept album about this kid in London or something. And it was this whole, like, thing. The next album was kind of just like, you know, sort of straight out, like, just hardcore shouters. And, you know, it just, like, it didn't hit home as much. This record is kind of a sequel to the previous double album. And it follows the same character, David. It's really interesting. Actually, Jay Maskus, we were talking about him. He has a guest vocal spot on one of the songs. A lot of guest vocals. Damien only sings on, like, about 2/3 of the record. Mm-hmm. Mike Halachek sings one of the songs. The drummer sings one of the songs. They've got a lot of guests. They wanted to bring in a lot of different voices. Part of it too was because Damien is—he's doing a lot of stuff. He's got like a podcast that he does. It's actually a really good one called
Turned Out of Punk,
which is really great. And he's got a wrestling thing he does, and there's all this stuff. So he's very active in other sort of non. So he willingly kind of took a lesser role in the band, and kind of the guitarist took more of a leading role. But it's just it's really interesting. There's dance stuff on it. There's horns. There's it's very diverse. Like And they've done kind of like that kind of stuff before. So they also do these Jay was talking about like all the extra 7-inch releases. Like they release all these like weird side projects.
Pretending
to
be whole different bands.
Yeah, and they've done like a bunch of that for this record too. They've done like 4 of those that they've only released one of them so far. But like they're just super prolific. But it was interesting because like right when this album came out, there were like all these rumors that like Damien was leaving the band, but. He's like, I'm not leaving. I'm just not doing what I did before. So he's still,
Well, and didn't he, like, I thought, unless I'm confusing him with someone else, didn't he leave the band because he had a kid? And then
they stopped touring.
Yeah.
The band was still together, but he just kind of took time off to raise the family or whatever. But they just came through town, I think, a week or two ago as well.
So he lied.
So yeah, but it's a really, I mean, I've listened to this album a few times now, and it's just, I mean, Mary Margaret O'Hara is on this record, who's like, it's kind of actually Catherine O'Hara's sister, but she's like this, kind of avant-garde singer. There's all sorts of just like weird guests on this thing. It's a really interesting record, and yeah, like, the lyrics are kind of all over the place. It's definitely experimental for these guys, and I'm still kind of discovering things on it,
right?
Which is always a good thing. It's super long. It's like it's a double record. It's like 82 minutes long or something like that. So, definitely you have to. It's kind of some
almost, it's a commitment,
almost like proggy stuff. So it's interesting. So, that's my number two.
Number two.
Those Your Dreams.
It's got some solid cover art as well.
Yeah.
Well, my number two.
What's your number two?
And Nothing Hurt by Spiritualized.
Ah.
Which is on a label that makes music.
You don't say.
And, this one, you put it
it's
on
Fat
it.
Possum.
It feels, it's on Fat Possum.
Thank you.
You put it on it. It sounds like an instant classic.
Cool.
There's like Spiritualized that it's got the sweeping, beautiful, somewhat orchestral stuff. It's got the psych groover stuff. The best example of the latter probably being the song The Morning After, which is a real hot jam. There's a song on there called Here Comes, The Road in parentheses or brackets or whatever, which I really like. I have a thing. We may or may not have discussed this thing on this program. I like songs that talk about listening to the radio. And
Autographs Turn Up the Radio?
Not particularly that one. Here Comes, they
like
mentioned,
We Built the City,
one of the primary, well, sure, we'll let that one in, but anyway, Here Comes, it continues my long love affair with songs that mention listen to the radio. I also like the opener,
I'm Your Man. I like that. I like the video. Have you seen the video for it?
I don't believe I've seen a video for
it. Seek out the video for that, it's great. He wears an astronaut suit, a space suit and everything. He drives out into the desert and visits Graham Parsons' grave.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that
I feel like I have seen that.
Bands still spend money and make videos.
It's a good looking video.
But that rarely gets seen. Like there's no MTV anymore to show them. I mean, there is MTV, but they won't show them. So literally, you have to seek them out yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
So there's no guarantee that anybody's going to watch this fucking thing that you spent
$100,000
on.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah. That's why you got to.
But
make
like,
them good.
Still, like so many bands will make videos. Like there once was a time when it made fiscal sense to make a good video, because it would drive sales of your album, get people to go see you. And now it's just sort of like, yeah, it's a cool thing to have.
Weird. Or it was a fun thing to do, or, you know, my roommate was a film major, or, you know.
I mean, the video's budget was kind of like one of those recoupable things, right? Like, yeah. I mean, the label would pay for this, like, ridiculously stupid, expensive video, and you had to pay it back.
Yep. Imagine you still got it, right?
Like, now, but I mean, who's on labels anymore? You know, they'll probably have to pay for it out of their own pocket.
As discussed in the excellent book, I Want My MTV, which I think we've talked about.
That's a fine book,
here before. So the album hits a familiar gear in the middle with the song on the Sunshine, which will appeal to fans or not fans. It's just appealing. I didn't know until I read the Acetone book that came out, I think, late last year, called the name Three Last Names of the Guys in Acetone, which was a terrific book that I liked a lot for a number of reasons. I didn't realize there was sort of an affinity between a Spiritualized and Acetone and Mazzy Star. And so that got me listening to, you know, I was ready for a new Spiritualized record. And and I'm so glad to enjoy it as much as I do. You know, I sort of pick and choose Spiritualized records, meaning I, you know, basically haven't listened to some, and some I, you know, Ladies and Gentlemen are floating in space. Mm-hmm. And I bought that, I think, the day it came out at Repo Records in Bryn Mawr. So, you know, I certainly have my favorites. And I think this is definitely going to be among them. I highly recommend And Nothing Hurt by Spiritualized, which I'm told is on the Fat Possum record label.
You're told by Mr. Doobie.
Indeed.
Dr. Doobie. Rick Doobie. All right. That was your number...
That was my number two.
Two. My number one is...
Wow, number one.
Superchunk. What a Super. Time to be alive. Again, came out early in the year. Another very political record, you know, strong reaction to Senor Trump and his administration. And this was a show, I think they came through, I don't know if it was late last year or early this year, but like just a kick ass. I mean, I've seen them a few times and they're great, but like, you know, Mac was just like all over the place on stage, just, you know, very energized and very, you know, you can feel that energy on this record. You know, they obviously have been doing this for a long time. I mean, since like the late 80s, I guess, early 90s. You know, Mac still has that kind of chipmunk voice. You know, like, he hasn't changed. But, like, but they really, you know, they're just, you know, Laura Balance is still playing on the record. She doesn't tour with them anymore.
Narducci does.
Narducci's touring with them. And just played Brad Searles' house, a living room show that I missed a couple weeks ago. But yeah, this is, you know, a really strong record. You know, you can call it a protest record. But it's also very fun. Like, it's, you know, it's kind of like that. It kind of has that 80s, you know, sort of punk feel where, you know, you're like... You're railing at the world, you know. You're railing at Margaret Thatcher or Ronald Reagan, but you're also out there, like, you know, slamming into people and having a good time. And so that was sort of the vibe that I got from this record, which is impressive considering it's a bunch of, you know, people in their probably like late 40s, early 50s. So, and you know, again, you know, it's I think sort of a call to, you know, resist what's going on, you know, not to lose hope, you know, when it definitely seems like, you know, it's funny because, you know, we talk about these things that were written, you know, I guess a year ago or so, you know, in reaction to Trump. And now, like, I'd love to see, like, you know, what these artists say now, you know, with just like the last year has been so insane. Like, it's just like, I mean, say what you will about Trump, the guy knows how to, like, you know, the master of distraction. You know, it's like, all right, you're pissed off about that? Try this fucked up thing.
Yeah.
You know, just, and try just these other way. Five fucked up things. I mean, it's amazing.
And it's only Tuesday.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, people, there are so many things to be upset about. You can't pick just one. And so nobody really does anything about anything. You know, it's just sort of like you're... Eventually, you just kind of be like, oh, fuck it, you know, I'm gonna go vape, you know, whatever the fuck people do now.
The vaping and
the vaping. And the pot smoking. But, yeah, it's a really weird time. But, you know, we are seeing more, you know, I think as evidenced by our lists, you know, more artists kind of getting upset about this stuff.
As
I mean,
they should.
Is it going to change anything? Probably not. But, you know, I think it's good for, you know, it's good to kind of let your aggressions out by cranking up a Superchunk record or, you know, Jeff Rosenstock or, you know, whoever else is pissed off at what's going on in the world. You know, protest music. I think we talked about this, Jay, like last year. You know, sort of the lack of protest.
Yeah,
music.
It's a constant. It's bothered me for about 10 years.
You know, even like going back to the Bush era. You know, I think the only person who was really like protesting was Neil Young. You know, and people were kind of writing him off.
Don't forget my favorite report, Suspicious Activity, the great project of the guy from Articles of Faith, Al something other. They had this song called Subtle, which was like the greatest protest song of the Bush era. But that was, I felt like the guy was just out there by himself screaming.
Well, yeah, like
Vic Biondi.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
He was just out there out front screaming and nobody else was with him. But he did this song Subtle, which was
incredible.
But it's just like, you know, I guess no, you know, obviously there are people making, you know, doing more, you know, outrightly vocal things than just, you know, recording songs on a record, and they're not hitting home with people, you know, like, you know, there's no rioting in the streets, but, you know, it is good to hear a band, you know, remaining relevant that's, you know, granted it's been around so long, and to release a record that's this strong, and obviously kind of, you know, fueled by outrage. For me, like that, you know, you know, kind of stuck with me the whole year. I mean, it came out early in the year, and you know, it's my number one because it's just, you know, it still resonates. So
a year ago, you guys talked about that there wasn't, it felt like there wasn't much protest music, and now a year later,
a little
it
more.
Seems like there is a little more. So I mean,
we're making progress.
Just needed a little bit of time.
Yeah, right? Yes.
And to germinate.
So I think that's very. It's interesting when you guys do this every year. You actually are able to not just track the trends of the last year, but actually pay attention to the differences from year to, you know, from year to year to year.
Yeah, and obviously, like, you know, when we started doing this, I want to say, Obama must have been president, you know, so it was a very different time, you know, you weren't like, we were upset about different things, but,
yeah,
you know, but, yeah, and you know, I don't
like
think
he wore a brown suit that one time.
That, yeah, what the hell, man?
Total jerk.
Mom jeans. But yeah, it's really, it's a strange time to be alive. And what a time to be alive.
And what a time to be
as
alive.
As Superchunk says. So that's my number one.
Tying it all together.
Now we're going to go to Jay's number one and my number four.
Yeah, not to make it confusing at all. But just make sure you get your game pieces on the
hells yes
correctly. No need to build it up. Courtney Barnett, Tell Me How You Really Feel. It's a terrific record. It was a bit of a grower. I think at the half year, I wasn't quite as committed to it, but I've since listened to the record a lot. It's a real go-to in the office where I'll just put it on and press the loop button and let her do her thing. I like the, you know, it is committed to, you know, a kind of moodiness. You know, she's, you know, not that she was, you know, super happy, but there was a lightness to, you know, the first record or what I consider
And the record was pretty vile.
Yeah, yeah, and definitely a lightness to that, which I didn't even think about. But again, Kurt Vile wrote the majority of the collaborative record. But the you know, certainly there's a darkness to this record that wasn't there on the Sometimes I Just Sit Here and Sit, and Sometimes I Just Sit Here and Think. You know, I think at first that kind of put me off. That this wasn't, you know, immediately as accessible, but the songs are still great, and the stuff where she's really working the mood and stretching out the compositions a little bit in here, I think it's all very effective. There's an economy to it. You know, it's very focused. You know, she throws you a bone with a Need a Little Time. You know, it's a little bit more of a, you know, she's reaching out to you with a structured, catchy number. But the rocker that comes right after that, I'm Not Your Mother, I'm Not Your Bitch.
Yep.
That's a hot one. Walking on Eggshells, also hot.
Name is Faceless. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's just.
I saw her across. Live about a month and a half ago, and I'd never seen her live before. And holy shit, she kicks ass.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Jim DeRogatis compared, you know, her first album to, like, Nirvana. And I was like, that's stupid. But live?
Yeah.
The guitar style, very similar. You know, she kind of has that ramshackle kind of, you know, I think it's all finger picked, and she just fucking wails.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's not obviously as, like, you know, angry as him, but she is, what an amazing performer.
Yeah.
Terrific guitarist. Yeah, you know, but this record, yeah, again, like, you know, I had it on as number 7. At the mid-year, I think I just listened to it a few times, but I mean, now, you know, it's I you know,
we're listening to the opener.
She's
now
an exciting, she's an exciting performer. Like, I, you know, she's only been around for a couple of years, and she's already got like 3 records that I really enjoy a lot. I've had in my top 10 for the last like 3 years, so you know, it's exciting to think of like what she's going to do going forward.
I found out I was a fan by complete accident, you know, because I don't pay attention to music anymore. And Karen is the one who listens to Spotify, and what she mostly does is have it just mix songs. You know, I don't know what she uses to seed it, but rarely do I bother to ask.
Yeah, hey, who's that?
What's this? Over the course of a couple of weeks, every time, she got frustrated with me.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Every time I asked, hey, well, this is all right. What's this? You're going to have to recognize it at some point, she finally said to me. But it probably was a half a dozen times within, like, not, you know, 7 or 8 days, I asked, well, this is all right. Well, what's this? And it was always, it's like, okay, well, clearly this is connecting.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was, well, she's playing a lot of stuff I like right now. Right. Oh, same damn
thing. It's all the same artist.
It's just this.
Yeah.
It's just this. Yeah, it's,
she's phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hot record. Yeah. Tell Me How You Really Feel by Courtney Barnett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Released by a record label or something.
What is she on? Polyvinyl?
No, I
forget. But probably not Polyvinyl. It seems she's from Australian. So,
oh, Mom and Pop.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, there is an American. I know she's on Mom and Pop. So yeah, that's our top 10. Are you looking forward to anything that's going to come out? The only one I didn't have a chance to really dig into it. Bob Mould's got a new record. I've heard a couple of songs that sound really good.
Let me throw one more thing with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You gentlemen aware of an Australian act called the Salad Boys?
No.
No.
Throw one plug out there.
Yeah.
Go to your band camp and check out the Salad Boys, please.
What do they sound like? He's going to do it right now.
Yeah.
You want to ruin the surprise?
No, it's just a great act.
Salad Boys. I like salad. Watch out for that romaine, though, huh? What about that romaine?
Album called This Is Glue, released in January.
Let's check out the news. How about that romaine lettuce? You gotta go to the salad bar.
No, salad boys.
Salad boys. Yeah.
Not salad bars.
Got salad boys coming out later, huh?
Well, then we'll put that one in the one to check out list.
One to grow on.
The one to grow on. But yeah, I'm aware of the Bob Mould. I honestly, it didn't even occur to me to think about, well, what's what's coming down the pipeline.
Other stuff is coming, though.
We can always hold out hope. I think that I actually read something, or no, there's a podcast, which was a very, probably the most in-depth, thorough, complete assessment of Johnny Foreigner, who I like. It's a good band. They've been on hiatus. The two-thirds of the band had kids.
Kids ruin everything.
And but they have at least agreed to reconvene potentially in 2020, I think, but maybe 2019. Though it sounds like they feel like it's run its course, and the reconvening would be just sort of to check in to make sure. And there's a
they suck.
Well, to make sure that they don't feel like nothing left to do.
But so what was this podcast?
You'd have to go to the Johnny Foreigner or Your Poetry Facebook and look for the link, because I can't remember what it is. But a UK podcast, and Alexi, the singer and guitarist from Johnny Foreigner and Your Poetry and Your Friends and whatever the other iteration is. Basically they talk about, the beginning of the band to the end, and which was interesting as the person who probably most closely cataloged the lifetime of the band to hear, because in the moment, in the time, when you're in the album cycle and whatever, the story is one thing when you ask, because they've got a story to tell and a story to sell, right? But, when to hear him look back over 10 years and say, well, this is what this was, this is what this was, it was very interesting to hear all that. So, hopefully it's, I actually, after hearing him talking about it, I wouldn't be disappointed if there was nothing that came, because he, made, a compelling argument that, in his mind, there are, and he gave examples, there are young bands who are closer to being young than he is.
He's not that old.
He's not that old, though he's older than the other two. But, he's probably still 10 years younger than me. or 8 years younger than me. He feels like the standard has been taken up by these other bands. So, and that's fine. And he talks about, respecting a legacy, blah, blah, blah. They have their outlet with their other bands, and I don't think they feel a need to make a record just to make a.
Yeah, that's too bad, because something to do. Everything they put out has been really good.
So. Yeah, they've been strong all along.
All right, I've looked it up. Here's a couple of 2019 releases that I'm looking forward to, and maybe you are too. Pedro the Lion.
Nope, just kidding.
Wow,
I love Pedro the Lion.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it, you jerk. new album called Phoenix coming out in January. I actually have heard the one song off it.
That's on
The Yellow something. Yeah.
I think they're either going to be in the UK on Alka Pop or be a Big Scary Monsters, which is exciting. When guys I like and sort of know, I'm doing air quotes for people in the listening audience.
Air quotes.
The Jack and the guy from BSM. Those are quality chaps, and I like to see. Bands I like from America releasing the records on the English labels. I like, yeah.
Mike Kroll, has an album called Power Chords. He's on, he's on Merge. He's really good. Swerve Driver's got a new record coming out.
Future Ruins.
Yeah, heard a couple of songs off of that. They sound pretty good. Bob Mould, as you mentioned, February coming out with Sunshine Rock. Who else? Telekinesis,
yeah,
fusion there.
Just saw a picture of that. Glasses wearing fool.
Yep. Glasses wearing fool. Who wears glasses these days? Oh wait, I do. That's about it, I guess. But
I'm sure there'll be ample.
Others. Yeah,
ample.
There's always
due for like a new Neil Halstead. They did a slow dive record that was really good last year, and then maybe he'll do like a solo record or something. I'm
looking forward to the 7 records Neil Young will put out.
Yeah. Add him to the jukebox, the internet jukebox.
Actually, like, I didn't mention him, but like Ty Siegel had 3 records this year that were all pretty decent. He actually released a covers record that has a cover of Saint Stephen by the Grateful Dead on it. It's actually like it's like totally different than the Dead one. It's pretty good. But yeah, that guy's always interesting, so I gotta see him live again. But yeah, there's always good shit coming out. That's the one thing is like I think you know, you said it earlier, Rick, is you know it may not be resonating on the charts and with, you know, the young kids, but there's always
it's always there. Someone's always doing it. You just gotta go find it, go dig it up.
Yep. And as long as ComCon lives, we will talk
about these things. We will talk about these things.
Right.
501.
Yeah. So, anyways.
In the books.
In the books. Jay Breitling, Rick Doobie, thanks so much for joining me.
I look forward to the 1,000th episode.
Yeah, holy shit, man. That'll be like in 2050 or something. All right. Thanks, guys.
Peace out.
Yeah.
You're listening to Completely Conspicuous with Jay Kumar.
That wraps up episode 502 of Completely Conspicuous. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you join me next time. In the meantime, check out BFF.fm every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 Pacific, to hear my radio show Stuck in the Garage. Check out MissCloud.com/CoomDog to listen to archive shows. Jay Breitling produced the opening and closing themes of this show. Voiceover work is courtesy of James Grelian. Completely Conspicuous is a Tan God production.